the following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening. This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs. Will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Well, welcome to a Wednesday. Yeah, and it's a good news Wednesday. I can bring out the good news sounder.
Tell me something good.
Good news blowing in your window.
It should come out good.
Good news is knocking on your door.
Good, 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 good.
Good news, good news, good news.
Well, finally, today we do have some good news to share, and we'll get to it. Just give me time. But, you know, I started this new thing a couple of weeks ago where I said I want to start off every show with some laughter, with a funny bit, because so much of the news is so demeaning and demoralizing and disgusting we need to get our laughs wherever we can get them. And I did mention the other day that Stephen Colbert was going to be on vacation for 2 weeks. And I thought, OK, well, there's a plethora of late night shows, and most of them are, on the anti-Trump bandwagon, because how else could you be? But it turns out they're all on vacation. The Daily Show is on vacation. Jimmy Kimmel is on vacation. Jimmy Fallon is on vacation. Seth Meyers is on vacation. So I think it's collusion. The late night TV talk show hosts are all colluding, and they must all be hitting their heads against the wall, because the best news since Trump took office broke yesterday, shortly after this show went off the air. Now, we're live from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern at NicoleSandler.com and on my streams. And then the show is repeated at 6 Eastern on the Progressive Voices Network. So by the time the show aired on the Progressive Voices Network last night, all hell had broken loose and we were still behind the times. So I apologize for that. We'll get you caught up today. But I don't have a bit from one of the late night talk show hosts to get you laughing at the top of the show. So I'm still going to need something for tomorrow and Friday. So if you have any great comedy bits that you think would be good for the beginning of the show, please send them to me, Nicole@NicoleSandler.com. In the meantime, Randy Rainbow has a new video out. I'm only going to play for you the audio, so you have to find him on YouTube to see the video, because the video adds a whole other element to it. But let us together rejoice in the wonderment and the wonderfulness that is Randy Rainbow.
Welcome back. We are joined now by a woman who scares the living shit out of me, former White House aide, reality TV villain, and author of the new book Unhinged, Omarosa Manigault Newman. Omarosa, what a pleasure it is to have you here.
I'm just not buying that.
Well, you got me there. You have been on a media blitz promoting your book and dropping secret recordings that you made during your time in the White House.
This is just the beginning of the type of corruption that's going on in Trump world, and I am here to blow.
Excuse me. I'll do the blowing around here. Now, you've brought with you today a new recording. This is an exclusive, so let's go ahead and have a listen. We warn you that what you're about to hear is extremely stupid.
Hey, lowlife.
it's me. Listen, I had no idea they were going to fire you after I told them to. I'm absolutely sick about it. Don't love it at all. But what I really wouldn't love is you flapping your yap all over town about all the crazy shit I say and do. So listen, I'd like to offer you $15,000 a month to shut the hell up and occasionally pick up my dry cleaning. Cool. Thanks, dog.
Okay. What the hell was that?
I saw this as an attempt to buy my silence, to censor me, and to pay me off $15,000 per month.
You say that there are more tapes, even video. You also allege that there is recorded evidence of the president using horrific racial slurs.
Absolutely.
How do you respond, Omarosa, to the questions about your own credibility?
I have been able to verify every single thing that I put in the book, and every single time the Trump people challenge me, I bring the receipts.
We've never paid attention to a word you've said. All that pompous highfalutin gobbledygook. Thought when you got fired, your career was dead. Now you're peddling a goddamn book.
A brand new book, and guess who's really shook?
He says that you're a fraud, which is ironic, cause he made ya. You say that they hushed you with donations that they paid ya. I think that we may have hit an all-time low. Now our precious country's a reality show. Though you're just a thirsty-ass publicity whore, could you be the hero we've been waiting for?
I am not going anywhere. Donald Trump has met his match.
Marosa, you're the worst, but damn, I'm glad you came. Will your sour grapes and secret tapes finally kick his ass at his own game?
It's the art of the deal.
Marosa, you're a mess, but I'm not mad you're here.
Oh,
if you crush this clown, I'll clean your crown when they make you Woman of the Year.
Oh, Marosa, we know that you're ratchet and mean, but we're ready to make you our queen.
Yes, queen, and when we say,
fine,
we'll buy your book today. We only hope that you'll play your tapes, Omarosa, Omarosa. Press play.
If I need to, I'll do what I have to do to protect myself.
Oh,
Marosa, God, you suck, but go and make that coin.
Make that money, honey.
Honey, open up a secret club for your fans, and maybe I will join. I said maybe, oh. My God, I hate you, Omarosa Manigault.
You're a monster.
But your ass I'll kiss, cause now he's pissing his pants and saying, oi, go vault.
He isn't Jewish, but okay.
Though you might be a fraud, every night till I pray to the Lord.
Play the tape, play the tape, play the tape.
That if you heard him saying the N-word, you taped it and that you'll play the tape, Omarosa, Omarosa. That's O-M-A-R-O-S-A.
Believe me, my tapes are much better than theirs.
Omarosa.
Donald Trump has met his match. I am not going anywhere. This is just the beginning.
Brandy Rainbow is a total loser. Believe me.
Brandy Rainbow is just fucking awesome. I'm telling you, if you're ever feeling down, just go on YouTube, find Randy Rainbow's page, and enjoy yourself, because they're silly, but they're so well done. Great stuff. If you told me that I'd play a 4-minute, you know, comedy bit about Omarosa, I would have told you you were nuts. But it's Randy Rainbow. All right, so that gets us started in a good mood. With all the news that broke yesterday in the 4 o'clock hour, there was another news story that really got ignored that deserves to be heard. And it's more good news. It's Elizabeth Warren made a speech yesterday and introduced, I believe, two bills. And it's all about anti-corruption. And our pal Dave Johnson will be along at the bottom of the hour to tell us what the media missed. Now, normally I'd be all over the mainstream media for not giving this Elizabeth Warren story any coverage, but with the news that broke in the last 24 hours, I can understand it. This is where we are. We'll give Elizabeth Warren the coverage that she deserves, because you need to know about this bill that she's proposing. That is exactly what we need. Sarah Huckabee Sanders just did a short press briefing. Of course, She couldn't answer any questions about Cohen or Manafort or anything. We've spoken all we're going to on that subject. That was one of her answers. Another was, you'll have to refer to outside counsel on that. You know, she didn't answer a single question. All she kept insisting was, though, that Trump was not implicated, which is bullshit. Actually, the technical term for that is
bullshit.
Yes, thank you. And because Michael Cohen did implicate the president. And you know what? Let's get to all of that in What's News. And today, because it's Good News Wednesday, we're going to do it live.
I read the news today.
Oh, boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
All right, here we go. Tuesday afternoon was a busy one in Trump land. The jury in the Paul Manafort case returned a guilty verdict on 8 out of the 18 charges. NBC's Ken Delanian has the story.
Paul Manafort showed no reaction. He was stone-faced. Nor did his wife after the verdict. Prosecutors shook hands with one another, and the judge admonished the jury that they did not have to talk to the press in the wake of this this verdict. But look, prosecutors got a little of everything here. Not 100% victory, obviously, for the prosecution, but they got 5 counts of tax fraud. They got 1 count of failing to file a foreign bank account report and 2 counts of bank fraud. And it appeared that this jury meticulously went through the details of the evidence, and they appear to have latched on to 2 of the stronger bank fraud charges.
Cool.
Where there are documentable lies introduced into evidence. In one case, Paul Manafort doctored a profit and loss statement to defraud a bank to get loans at a time where he was badly in need of cash. So this jury was super thoughtful, it appears, right, about their deliberations. And earlier today, they told the judge that they were unable to reach consensus on, it turns out, a number of counts. The judge asked them to go back and deliberate. They tried for about 4 hours, were unable to do it. And so the judge declared a mistrial on the 10 counts. Now, the government can retry Paul Manafort on those 10 counts, but he's facing a lot of years in prison already on the 8 counts that he's been convicted of. And he's facing another trial in Washington, D.C. next month that carries even more prison time.
Oh, yes. Another trial in Washington, D.C. next month. As he was getting ready to board Air Force One yesterday, heading to West Virginia for a rally last night, Trump weighed in on the Manafort verdicts.
I must tell you that Paul Manafort's a good man. He was with
Ronald Reagan.
He was with a lot of different people over the years, and I feel very sad about that. It doesn't involve me, but I still feel, it's a very sad thing that happens. This has nothing to do with Russian collusion.
All right, that's too noisy to listen to. He's basically said, it has nothing to do with me, it has nothing to do with Russian collusion, it has nothing to do with obstruction, and Paul Manafort's a good man. To be continued. Another bombshell story was unfolding at the same time yesterday as Donald Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, pleaded guilty to illegally interfering in the 2016 election. And yes, he implicated the president. Cohen said he worked, quote, at the direction of a candidate for federal office for the purpose of influencing the election, pleading guilty to 5 counts of tax evasion, 2 counts related to an illegal campaign contribution, and 1 count of making a false statement. MSNBC's Ali Velshi explains.
Trump's longtime personal lawyer and fixer, Michael Cohen, pleading guilty to 8 counts, including 2 criminal campaign finance violations he said occurred, quote, at the direction of the candidate, end quote. Cohen did not name the candidate in court, but the meaning appears clear. Cohen detailing a payment of $150,000 to a woman whose silence he wanted to secure. Those details match what's publicly reported about a payoff to Karen McDougal. Cohen saying it was done, quote, for the principal purpose of influencing the election. Cohen also pleading guilty to making an excessive campaign contribution. That's related to the payment of $130,000 made to a woman in October of 2016, just weeks before the election, at the direction of the same candidate. Those details match what we know about the Stormy Daniels payment.
Mm-hmm. Michael Cohen's attorney, Lanny Davis, made the TV rounds last night and this morning, and he was explaining to everyone that wanted to ask that Michael Cohen was now ready to tell all.
I can tell you that Mr. Cohen has knowledge on certain subjects that should be of interest to the special counsel, and is more than happy to tell the special counsel all that he knows, not just about the obvious possibility of a conspiracy to collude and corrupt the American democracy system in the 2016 election, which the Trump Tower meeting was all about, but also knowledge about the computer crime of hacking and whether or not Mr. Trump knew ahead of time about that crime and even cheered it on. And we know he publicly cheered it on, but did he also have private information? One thing to say about Michael Cohen, if I might, is that he's been through a very tough day.
Aww.
His wife and his two children and his family are, I would say, suffering from this type of event, and
well,
so is Michael. But in one very important respect, Michael is relieved. He's a good man with a good heart that I've discovered. But he's relieved and liberated is the word I would say to your audience, because now he has no shadow hanging over him. The uncertainty is gone. He has stepped up to the line, and he has admitted what he did wrong, but he is now liberated to tell the truth, everything about Donald Trump that he knows.
Bring it on.
That led him to approach someone like me, who he knows politically doesn't share anything with President Trump. And from this point on, you're going to see liberated Michael Cohen speaking truth to power.
Okay, well, we're looking forward to Michael Cohen speaking truth to power. I guess yesterday was just the opening salvo. Lanny Davis took some criticism and ribbing because on one of his TV appearances, he mentioned a GoFundMe account set up to help Michael Cohen pay his legal fees. Twitter was pretty merciless on that one. Lanny Davis this morning went on Good Morning America.
Is Michael Cohen prepared to tell everything he knows about President Trump to Special Counsel Robert Mueller and other prosecutors?
Yes, 100%. That's the decision he made, and that led to what happened yesterday, and that's why his feelings right now are a mixture of the pain he went through for his family, but relief and liberation that he can now speak completely the truth without the shadow of the potential prosecution hanging over him.
In court yesterday, he implicated President Trump in a federal crime. As you know, President Trump's defenders are already attacking Mr. Cohen's credibility. Does he have evidence to support those claims?
Let me make 100% clear, the evidence was provided definitively by Donald Trump's lawyers. They wrote the special counsel and said Donald Trump directed Michael Cohen to make these illegal payments. That's not a dispute. It's not about credibility. It's his lawyers in a letter used the word directed. Rudy Giuliani said, don't believe what Trump said on Air Force One. It's not a crime to lie to the American people. And he said Donald Trump reimbursed Michael Cohen.
So to be clear, if Michael Cohen committed a federal crime at the direction of President Trump, does that mean President Trump committed a federal crime?
You think?
President Trump committed a criminal act that corrupted our democracy. That's what the campaign finance laws are about. The same way that the Russians, complicit with WikiLeaks and evidence that members of the campaign at least facilitated that conspiracy.
All right, so some pretty strong words there from Michael Cohen's lawyer. On CNN, Jeffrey Toobin, he's their great legal mind. He explained just how serious this is for the president.
Michael Cohen implicated Donald Trump in a federal crime.
Uh-huh.
He said that his violation of campaign finance laws was in coordination with and at the direction of Donald Trump. That means that according to this guilty plea, Donald Trump was a co-conspirator and or an aider and abettor of this crime. That is, in and of itself, something of such great significance
yep.
that I don't even think it has a parallel during Watergate.
Wow.
No one, I believe, pled guilty during the Nixon presidency, tying the president so directly into a federal crime. What happens as a result of that, if anything, is a very different question. But, for a long time, we had heard from the president's supporters, well, this has nothing to do with Donald Trump. It has to do with the Ukraine many years ago. This brings the scandal right to the door of the White House.
Yes, it does. You know, we heard the words unindicted co-conspirator from a few people yesterday, including former Watergate prosecutor Nick Ackerman.
I'm just reading now count seven. Seven and eight are the ones that refer to Karen McDougal and Stormy Daniels. We're talking about the $150,000 payment to Karen McDougal. It reads here, Cohen caused Corporation One to make an advance $150,000 payment to Woman One, including through the promise of reimbursement, so as to ensure that Woman One did not publicize damaging allegations before the 2016 presidential election and thereby influence the election. Nick Ackerman, Tom is being generous, saying that it implicates the campaign. The president has repeatedly denied knowledge of these things and repeatedly denied while president and while in office. This implicates the president of the United States.
There's no question about it. This makes the president of the United States an unindicted co-conspirator. This is the first time this has happened since Richard Nixon was named as an unindicted co-conspirator in the Watergate trial.
Yeah. Yes, good news. I told you it was good news Wednesday. But wait, there's more. Just last week, Chris Collins, the first congressman to publicly back Trump in his bid for the presidency, was indicted for insider trading. You remember that? Well, yesterday, the second member of Congress to throw his support behind Trump, Duncan Hunter of California, along with his wife, was indicted on charges of filing false campaign finance records. They're all going down.
The second of candidate Trump's original two congressional supporters has now been indicted. Congressman Duncan Hunter of California, he and his wife are charged with wire fraud, falsifying records, campaign finance violations, and conspiracy. They allegedly misused $250,000 in campaign money. A spokesperson for Congressman Hunter says he believes the indictment against him and his wife is, quote, purely politically motivated. Again, Congressman Hunter was an early Trump supporter, the second sitting member of Congress to endorse candidate Trump. The first to endorse him was Chris Collins, who was indicted earlier this month on insider trading charges.
Amazing. The Hunters illegally used campaign funds, among other things, to purchase the following. You ready? Hotel rooms, airline tickets and upgrades, meals and food, and entertainment expenses for vacations for themselves and their friends and family, including more than $14,000 for a family Thanksgiving vacation in Italy in November of 2015, more than $6,500 for a family vacation to Hawaii in April 2015, more than $3,700 for a family vacation to Las Vegas and Boise in July 2015. My God, they took a lot of vacations. More than $2,400 for a Las Vegas couples vacation in August 2011, and more vacations to destinations such as Lake Tahoe, Pittsburgh. Who goes to Pittsburgh on vacation? London and Washington. There's more, but that gives you the gist of it. And by the way, it seems like it's a little bit too late to get Duncan Hunter's name off the ballot there in California. And that's a district that Daryl Issa, who knew he couldn't win re-election in his own district, so he's not running, that he said he would look into running in if Duncan Hunter wasn't going to run. Well, it's too late for that, too. Don't you just hate it when their plans fall apart? Anyway, in case you were wondering, so we got the first member of Congress to back Trump. That was Chris Collins. The second was Duncan Hunter. In case you were wondering, the third member of Congress to jump on the Trump bandwagon was then-Senator Jeff Sessions. Yeah, there's a trend here. You see it happening? All right. I told you Dave Johnson's going to be along today. He's got more good news to share. Now, the media probably would have, for the most part, ignored the story we're going to share with you about what Elizabeth Warren announced yesterday, because they do. Because they, you know, any progressive things, you know, the Congressional Progressive Caucus puts out a really good budget each year. It's virtually totally ignored by the media. And again, they didn't give Elizabeth Warren much airtime on this plan. You know what? Well, I'll play for you on the other side. We'll take a break. We'll get with Brad and Desi in the Green News Report and come back with our pal Dave Johnson next. And we'll share more good news because it's a Good News Wednesday on the Nicole Sandler Show. It's at NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
No single regulation threatens our miners, energy workers, and companies more than this crushing attack on American industry.
Trump's move to replace Obama's Clean Power Plan will increase global warming and air pollution. Australia's Conservative government abandons its emissions targets. Plus, the Interior Department cancels plan to sell off land stripped from National Monument. For now.
All of those stories and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
This July we just had was the hottest month ever in California's history. Applause?
Trump fans, this is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, it's getting hotter and hotter and hotter, and now Donald Trump wants to make it hotter still, apparently.
Yes, apparently he does. The Trump administration is proposing to significantly weaken U.S. climate policy. 2 years ago, President Barack Obama announced his landmark Clean Power Plan, the first ever carbon emission standards for the nation's power plants to reduce the U.S. contribution to global greenhouse gas emissions that cause dangerous global warming.
We're the first generation to feel the impact of climate change and the last generation that can do something about it. And that's why I committed the United States to leading the world on this challenge, because I believe there is such a thing as being too late.
Now, the Trump administration is formally proposing its own replacement for the Clean Power Plan.
Of course they are. Obama came up with the last one. We got to get rid of that. Everyone knows it.
Critics say it will significantly weaken efforts to reduce U.S. carbon emissions. According to the New York Times, the Trump proposal will allow states to set their own emission standards or even opt out of setting any standards altogether. The Washington Post calculates Trump's proposed replacement would release 12 times more carbon dioxide emissions into the atmosphere than Obama's plan would have over the same time period. Trump's EPA intends to argue that Obama's EPA exceeded its federal authority in proposing the Clean Power Plan emission standards, and Trump will focus on saving the utility industry $400 million in compliance costs every year and have only negligible benefits to the climate. But Obama's plan was crucial to meeting U.S. climate commitments to reduce greenhouse gas emissions under the United Nations Paris Climate Agreement.
Which, of course, we're no longer in, so why do we have to meet those commitments?
Actually, we're still in the Paris Climate Agreement, and we won't be formally out of it until 2020.
Oh, well, details.
Trump's proposed policy would also allow old coal plants to continue spewing deadly pollutant toxins like sulfur dioxide, nitrous oxide, and mercury into the air without having to upgrade their pollution controls.
And there's the heart of the matter. Help out those coal people, and Donald Trump doesn't care how many people it kills or how much of the planet it suffocates.
Obama's Clean Power Plan would have been the pollution equivalent of taking 75 million cars off the road, while Trump's plan, at best, would be like taking just 5 million cars off the road. Energy analysts say it's unlikely the Trump administration's efforts to bail out the coal industry will stop its long-term decline in U.S. electricity markets, because that is caused by cheaper natural gas and renewables, not regulation. For example, a new report from the Appalachian Regional Commission on Monday found no significant increase in coal jobs in the state of Kentucky under Trump's policies.
You mean after all that Trump has done for coal miners, it's not increasing the jobs?
At least not in Kentucky.
Who could have predicted that over and over and over again, as we did?
Trump's proposal will likely trigger a legal battle, but even if it ultimately fails, valuable time will have been lost in the interim as polluting industries continue releasing carbon dioxide emissions that will warm the atmosphere for 1,000 years. Now, Trump is not the only leader abandoning climate action. On Monday, Australia's Conservative Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull announced that he is abandoning Australia's targets for reducing carbon emissions, bowing to pressure from his party's climate change denier lawmakers who threatened to hold a no-confidence vote if Mr. Turnbull followed through on introducing mild policies to curb greenhouse gas emissions. Meanwhile, the impacts of climate change are already here. From the unprecedented string of all-time high temperature records broken around the world this summer to a rash of deadly extreme rainfall events like in Kerala, India, which has received 40% more rainfall than average for this year in just a few weeks, that has triggered catastrophic flooding that's killed nearly 300 people and forced an estimated 800,000 people from their homes. Finally, a bit of good news, a small victory for public lands. The Interior Department's Bureau of Land Management late Friday canceled all plans to sell off land that has been stripped from Utah's Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument after a massive backlash from environmental groups and the public. So there's that.
We'll take it. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us, follow us, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
I'm gonna clean up the mess I made. Maybe it's not too late.
The Nicole Sandler Show is 100% listener-supported. Have you given yet? Nicole decided not to put her show behind a paywall, knowing that many can't afford the luxury of paying for a podcast. But if you're able to, she needs your financial support to continue doing this. Consider a monthly subscription. Give when you can. Just visit NicoleSandler.com/donate. Remember, she can't do this without you.
Olson Johnson is right. I say we stay and fight it out.
Dr. Samuel Johnson's right about Olson Johnson's being right. And I'm not giving up my ice cream parlor that I built with these two hands for nothing or nobody.
Howard Johnson is right.
The latest in a long line of Johnsons who were right. Correct. It's Dave Johnson on the Nicole Sandler Show.
You can find him over at seeingtheforest.com and on the Twitters at DC Johnson, where he's usually, sounding off about something. And occasionally right here on the Nicole Sandler Show. Hey, Dave Johnson.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing okay. I like this change of pace, this actually getting good news for once in a while, you know?
You know, yesterday was the reason that I obsessively sit on Twitter to see if there's any news. Because it happened yesterday, didn't it?
It sure did. So we celebrate when good news happens. And I think there's going to be more of it to come.
Oh, yeah, a lot more. I got to ask you a question. I like that intro, the Johnson intro, but I'm not sure it makes any sense.
When has that ever stopped us before?
All right, there you go.
You come from a long line of Johnsons who were correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
That's all.
Okay.
That's all. We can make you a new intro if you want. It's not going to make any more sense than that one does.
No, that's fine. That's fine. It's nice to have an intro.
Yes. Not everybody has one, you know.
Yeah, I know. It's nice to have one.
Dave Johnson.
So
as I was saying at the beginning of the show, there's actually another, like, good. I guess you could call it good news. It's one of our best progressive senators came up with a new bill that makes so much sense. And of course, you didn't hear a lot about it in the media yesterday. But not that you would on a normal day, because they often don't cover these things. A Democrat who's not in power right now comes up with a bill that's not going to get really any traction because the Democrats aren't in power. Elizabeth Warren came up with a great idea, and we want to shine a spotlight on it because it deserves to have the spotlight shown upon it, don't you think?
Well, yeah, but I have an entirely different take on this from what you just said about them not talking about Warren and her bill and things like that.
Okay.
All right. I think they are so afraid of Warren's bill that what we saw yesterday was entirely about the deep state just doing all of that yesterday, just so that it overshadows Warren's bill, so we don't hear enough about it. I think that's what happened.
Wait,
yesterday.
What did you say it was? The what?
Wait, what? That yesterday was a deep state conspiracy to keep us from hearing about.
Sorry, you said deep state in the deep state. That's what I think of when I hear deep state. Sorry. The deep state.
Yesterday was the deep state conspiring to keep us from hearing about Warren's bill.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, all of that about Trump and everything, that's all just made up to keep us from from hearing about Warren's bill. That's what I think.
Okay, well, actually, I was pleasantly surprised to see Elizabeth Warren on the Morning Jerk show this morning. And so I've got a little clip here that we can play so people get the gist of the beginning of what this bill is all about. Again, because if, you know, you're just watching the news, chances are you didn't hear much about it. So this is Elizabeth Warren telling Mika Brzezinski about her new anti-corruption bill. And it's about fighting corruption. What a concept.
You've got the Anti-Corruption and Public Integrity Act. Give me a line on each one. I'll start with the first. Padlock the revolving door and increase public integrity. How?
Yeah. Stop this business of somebody works on Wall Street, draws a big salary, gets a big present going out the door to go regulate the very industry that they just worked for and are likely to work for in the future. As long as they're doing that, they're not working for the American people. They're working for the industry that lines their pockets.
End lobbying as we know it.
Right.
So on this one, when you leave public office, whether it's as a senator or a member of the House or a cabinet official or a president or a vice president, a lifetime ban on lobbying. No more of this business if you trade your contacts in Washington, sell them to the highest bidder.
Cashing in. End corporate capture of public interest.
Wrong button. What I meant that one.
So what this means is when the regulatory agencies are trying to make rules on behalf of the public and they get overwhelmed by these giant corporations that come in and spend zillions of bucks lobbying, let's put a little tax on the lobbying so the regulatory agency will have the resources to fight back on behalf of the public.
You want to improve judicial integrity and defend access to justice for all Americans.
You know, on this one, I think that the judges, both, and this includes the Supreme Court justices, should not be able to take fancy speaking fees, trips to hunting lodges and golf courses, and they should not be permitted to own and trade in individual stocks. By the way, federal judges shouldn't be able to do it. Senators shouldn't be able to do it. Congressmen shouldn't be able to do it. The president and vice president shouldn't be able to do it. Heads of agency shouldn't be able to do it. Cabinet officials shouldn't be able to do it. If people want to keep their investments, put them in big index funds. But the people who are actually making policy and deciding things in the public interest should have no conflicts, no trading in individual stocks, and let's just remember, no owning businesses on the side.
Yes, we should all be standing up and applauding Elizabeth Warren right now.
Yep. I know you don't have me on the show just to tell jokes, so I'll stop and get serious for a minute here. Except that while you were hitting the wrong buzzer, I was walking around and stepping on dog toys. So.
Oh, okay.
All right. So Elizabeth Warren has come out with two bills, actually. Last week she came out with the all of a sudden I don't remember the name. It's about the large corporations and bringing them under control. It's the Accountable Capitalism Bill.
Ooh.
And that actually relates to this bill that she announced yesterday. And I was on a call with her last night, actually, where she talked about it. So this bill, and I've got to say, it really is profound. The Accountable Capitalism Bill is profound, but this bill, too, is the Anti-Corruption and Public Integrity Act.
Nice.
And this is a foundational transformation of how people in Washington, in the federal government, are going to operate. And it's so badly needed. First of all, it redefines lobbying. Right now, lobbying is a very narrow niche definition, and you have to do certain kinds of things, and you can actually take money and influence government and not be called a lobbyist. Well, she changes that. This bill changes it to anybody taking money to influence government in any way. That's the new definition of lobbying.
Okay.
So that's a big deal.
That's a big deal.
There's a whole number of things in this. There's this revolving door where when she says she's going to ban officials from becoming lobbyists, that includes staffers, by the way, not just elected officials.
Good.
That includes this new definition of lobbying. So you can't be in the government and then cash in on what you've been doing. She says that if you're going to be in public service, you're going to have to be there to serve the public, not to be looking out with one eye over for what you're going to be doing next to cash in. It'll stop double dealing, preventing members of Congress from owning individual stocks. When you get elected to some office, you take all of what you have. It gets sold and put into a trust. It can go into a mutual funds or something like that where you can't identify what stocks you own, but you cannot any longer benefit from doing something that helps a company.
Mm-hmm.
Every meeting must be public. If you're going to be doing anything to influence the government, everything about that meeting will be made public, including all the papers you handed over and everything else. You won't be able to take money for speaking fees. We've heard about speaking fees recently
yes,
and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yep. To serve in the public interest, you must be willing to say you are here to serve in the public interest. If you don't want to do that, get a different job. Don't pretend it's in the public interest. And that's a quote from last night. And then here's the one I like best. This is amazing because as I think about how to handle corruption, this is a big one. Hire an independent sheriff whose job is to look over the entire government for corruption and prosecute it and make it public. Right now we have very weak rules by very weak agencies with very little enforcement power. This would be independent agency that watches the government for corruption, and that's a very big deal. That's so badly needed. Nobody now really does that. And I just want to add real quick, there's a citizens petition at ElizabethWarren.com/endcorruptionnow. Now, this doesn't cover campaign finance. That's a whole separate issue. She says, you know, you can change all the campaign finance laws, and there's still this corruption, I hate to use the word, but swamp of all of these people. They get into government, and they're sole purpose for getting into government is to cash out later. And you see that so much, how that affects almost everything that's done in Washington. So it's not about campaign finance, because you can change all the campaign finance rules and this will still be happening.
Right.
She says, yes, we need campaign finance, but we need this too. And everybody's talking about campaign finance. She's bringing this into the equation as well.
I love it.
And this is a part two of the first one, which is the Accountable Capitalism Act, because you need that too, because if you can get these large corporations under control, and that includes workers on the boards of the corporations, then you're going a long way right there to stop the flow of the corrupt money. But you also need all of this. So this is I haven't seen anything like this, and it actually gives me great hope. You know, the thing is, nobody's introduced anything like this in Washington since Watergate, since the following of Watergate. And so the Democrats now have something to run on. They've been talking about corruption. Now they can demonstrate and say, look, we want to pass this. This will have an effect on reducing the corruption, maybe to some degree ending it. That combined with this accountable capitalism thing. Of the large, it's only, I think a lot of it's for companies over $1 billion, but that's a big part of the problem right now. And they're going to get a federal charter that requires them to act a certain way, which is something a lot of people have been calling for. And you can end that company if they aren't acting the way they're supposed to.
Wow.
So
that's
a quick summary of this. I'm excited. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible, you know, if we get the Republicans out, it's possible to pass this. And if we start now and it becomes one of the things that we're running on, then there's a mandate to pass this, which really helps too.
Yes. By the way, there's the bill. This is from an article about Warren's plan at The Intercept. Her bill would also mandate that the IRS release tax returns for candidates and that the president and vice president be subject to conflict of interest laws. As you mentioned, she would create a new Office of Public Integrity to enforce the new ethics laws. You know, what always gets me is people go into Congress as, you know, regular working stiffs. And then, you know, they spend 20 years in Congress and all of a sudden they're multimillionaires. Because they all engage in insider trading, which they're not allowed to do. She would keep them from owning individual stocks, which I love.
Yeah, you cannot have investments in a particular company. That's actually huge, and it's ridiculous that members of Congress are allowed to have investments in companies when they're making decisions that affect how those companies will perform. It's just beyond belief. And it's so obvious, and of course it's something that you can't change easily because they all do it.
Right.
So it's and nobody brings up even doing something about it. So here we are with this. It's so good. And yes, you can't have your own business on the side. And we know someone who's doing that.
We know a big one and others. Yeah. There are quite a few others who do that.
Yeah. But who's the guy that just got indicted recently? Collins, the Trump's first
Chris
supporter,
Collins.
Just got indicted for the exact kind of insider trading that Warren's talking about.
Yep. And this would rule that out. Now, I wonder, Dave Johnson, what kind of support she's getting from her colleagues. Obviously, no Republicans are going to get behind this, which would make it difficult unless the Democrats can flip both the House and the Senate in November, which is not out of the question if we all vote. I'm wondering how her fellow Democrats have received this legislation that she introduced.
Well, I hate to say I don't have an answer to that because I haven't seen yet. As you know, the news channels have been a little clogged up.
Yes, they have. I know.
With other things going on, yeah. Other things that might actually make a big difference, too, I think. So
that's true.
Yeah.
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 So we don't know. I did hear that she said something about she doesn't have any co-sponsors because when you get someone to co-sponsor a bill, they want some changes made to it. And she didn't want to water it down at all. She wanted to get it out there in her vision the way it is. And so she hasn't even started on that yet. But does this have any, you know, serious chance of actually going anywhere?
Well, if the Democrats were in power, this is one of those things. Let's back up. Let's look at some of the things that never had a chance of going anywhere.
Okay.
That are so obviously good.
Mm-hmm.
How about Medicare for All?
Yeah.
And so what's happened with that is that because the word is out about this plan, Medicare for All, you know, there's the specifics vary. Bernie's plan is really good. It doesn't just give Medicare to everybody. It adds all kinds of things to it, including vision, dental, and hearing coverage. And then it's called Medicare. Everybody gets it. And so, but there's different plans. But the fact that it's out there, every single Democrat who's seriously thinking of running for president is endorsing it. So then there's two ideas, a federal jobs guarantee and the minimum income. And they're being widely discussed now, and they're becoming some variation of one or two, both of those, is becoming a no-brainer if you're going to run as a Democrat. $15 minimum wage. Well, of course.
Yeah.
And there's a list. There's a whole list of things that once they're brought up, once somebody's courageous enough to state the obvious, and it takes courage sometimes, then you start to get this momentum from the people. And the Democrats are at least... The Democratic Party is capable of being responsive to these movement things of the people. And they, for example, the best example of that is what I said, that no serious candidate for president in the Democratic Party opposes Medicare for All at this point. So that's the answer to that. She just came out with it.
Yep.
And the accountable capitalism has some amazing changes in it that are so badly needed, and it's very... very forward-looking for a senator to be introducing this. Okay, this is Bernie hasn't introduced these things really.
No.
You know, he's talked about them a bit, but so this is a very big deal, and I believe that it will become core, central to the discussion of things we need to do in the future.
You think Elizabeth Warren is going to run in 2020?
I don't know. I hope so.
I hope so too.
She's got the authenticity because she's always been about these things and a number of other qualifications, I think, that, you know, progressives and others will look for. I hope she does. We need it. We need good people running. We'll see.
Yeah. And the thing about she's smart too. The Accountable Capitalism Act. It's interesting that she's doing this as the bandwagon jumping is all going on about democratic socialism, which of course is what Bernie says he is, a democratic socialist,
right.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and a lot of the new crop of nominees we're seeing getting
right.
through primaries are. And here's Elizabeth Warren. She said, "I'm a capitalist to my bones," she said
right,
in
right.
response
and
to...
I kind of react to that myself, because really capitalism by definition means of, by, and for capital, which means
mm-hmm.
wealthy people. So,
right.
Whereas socialism is of, by, and for society, the good of society. So that's just a little... Her and Bernie come to the exact same policy prescriptions from these two different directions, and I will credit that. I think perhaps she comes from this history of everybody afraid of the stigma of saying you're not in favor of capitalism and more
or
in favor of a social solution.
Right.
I don't know.
They're afraid of the stigma of the word socialism. I mean, you heard it on
yep.
Fox where one of the bimbos tried
yep.
to equate Denmark with Venezuela. And
I know.
Did you see that? And somebody from Denmark made a video about it and really put the idiots in their place.
Right. And also trying to pretend that what's going on in Venezuela is socialism.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
a difference between, the socialism that they used to scare you during the Cold War and what democratic socialism is. That's a show I'm going to have to do one of these days. I'll have to get someone on from the Democratic Socialists of America to explain what they're all about. Because it's democratic socialism. It's a different animal.
I think that the decades and decades of propaganda over these labels has had
mm-hmm.
an effect. And I also, as I said, her and Bernie Sanders are going to come to the exact same policies, regardless of what they're called and what they're labeled, I think. Because I think that aside from the labels, the real answers to how we should run a society just become kind of obvious. That you can't let rich people get so much money that they control the society, that you can't have these unaccountable corporations. You have to have them be represented on the board of the company. I mean, what's the purpose of a corporation? It has nothing to do with this current these things we have. The labels don't apply, and I just think that it's just obvious that you got to start running things for the bulk of the people,
mm-hmm.
and you got to stop letting just a few rich people control everything, including decisions about, our resources, what we invest in, all these kind of things. You know, we're forbidden to have public investment in all kinds of things because of capitalism. And yet, so that what that means is just a few people make all the decisions about how our society is going to, what we're going to have, how it's going to look, all kinds of things.
Well, that's true. But, Elizabeth yeah. Warren was also, it was one of her great ideas like this that brought us the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
Exactly.
Which was a great agency. Therefore, I mean, Consumer Protection Financial Bureau, I mean, it spells out what it's about. And the Trump cabal has done nothing but try to dismantle it.
Right, right, right. It's like that rule that if you're a financial advisor, the advice you have to give has to be for the benefit of the client who's paying you to be
mm-hmm.
their financial advisor and not so you just get rich off of them.
Right.
And the Trump people fought that and killed it. And it's just the most obvious thing in the world, but they were against it, which says a lot about what the financial industry is about, which, as Bernie said, the fraud is the core operating principle of the financial industry.
Right. So in order
yeah.
to get all these good things that, that they're out there. They're out there for the taking. We just have to win the elections to get them.
Yes.
So
and get a little bit past some of the labels. I mean, obviously what you and I would call socialism, European socialism is obviously where we have to go.
Mm-hmm.
And with decades of propaganda, I don't know, I guess some blue-collar workers somewhere are going to be afraid of that or something. So they make a political calculation. That's fine. It's up to you and me to be out there driving the words to have a better connotation in people's minds. It's not, you know, and then it's up to the politicians to be coming up with policies that benefit us. So
right.
I'm not too disturbed by what Warren said about capitalism.
No, nor am I. And I'm just pointing out, you know, she's also, you know, she's a politician. And so she understands
right.
for some, especially older people, they have a visceral reaction to the word socialism. They think it's this bad thing, where young people don't have that. In fact, there was just a poll out the other day with Democrats where I think I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was like 47% have a positive feeling towards socialism and only 37% had a positive feeling towards capitalism. I mean, we're seeing...
And as you get down younger, that gets
even bigger.
A greater divide,
That's
bet.
Right. But it's the old people...
Capitalism isn't delivering anything for the younger people these days, is it?
Not
anything but student debt.
Not for some of us older people either.
Yeah, really. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Yeah, I took my...
You and I know that well.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Yes.
I took my kid to a career fair. There was a job fair put on by the local Broward County newspaper today, and my daughter has opted not to go to college for a few reasons, and for a few reasons, some that are different than her reasoning, I agree with her. I don't want her going into debt, taking on huge college debt when she hates school. She's never been a good student, and there's nothing she particularly wants to study. So why put yourself in that position? And I can't afford to put her through college right now, which really, really sucks. You know, but just seeing the jobs that are out there and watching how she goes, she just started this new job at a sub shop and they give her 2 hours a day.
Yeah.
So, and this is how they do it. And they told her there aren't going to be more hours. So she's got to get like two or three or four jobs in order to equal having a full-time job. It's not an easy time out there.
The federal job guarantee idea. I mean, can't you just feel how much that would change this entire equation?
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely.
By the way, for listeners, the idea is that the government, anybody that wants a job, they guarantee a job at $15 an hour or whatever, you know, that'll go up with inflation and benefits, and you'll be doing something. You might be a teacher's aide, you might be helping old people, you might be taking care of kids, you might be fixing up public parks, who knows, but they guarantee you a job. And think of the effect that has if you got a nasty boss that's exploiting you, and suddenly there's what's called full employment in the economy. That wouldn't just mean you have to go to the government to get that job. It just means that all jobs have to compete with that. So all jobs have to get as good as that.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What a shift.
Yes.
What a shift
would
mean.
And it's a new world. Look, I was talking with some people at this career fair about how my business, you know, the radio industry has changed so much. And what used to be, you know, a radio station staffed by 20 people, now they can run that same radio station with three and some voice trackers from outside of the market. It's a different world. And so there just aren't jobs like there used to be. The other day was National Radio Day. And so people were on Facebook, you know, listing all the radio stations they've worked at. And I looked at my long list of radio stations over a 35-year career, and you know, and it sucks that I can't get hired these days because there just aren't jobs for me.
Well, your listeners, I subscribe, by the way. Your listeners really need to be subscribing to help you out with that.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
Because that's how I earn a living. That's what pays my salary.
And they need to be on Twitter and other places and Facebook telling people to tune in because it's a great show.
Oh, well, thank you, especially when I have Dave
Johnson.
Well,
no, they should. They just should. Right now, they should all be on there saying, you should listen to Nicole because she has Dave Johnson on.
That's right.
Well, that too.
That's one reason, anyway. No, but it's true. I mean, the airwaves have been taken over by the right-wing crazies. So there's maybe a handful of progressive talkers on the public airwaves. Most of us have been relegated to the internet. And even then, we're trying to find our own way in a very crowded field. It's very difficult to earn a living. And I never thought I'd be at the age of 58 in the financial position I'm in now. It's just...
You're not 58. I've seen pictures of you.
Aw, thank you. I am.
You've got to be 35.
Aw. if I was 35, I might be able to get a job again.
Yeah, there you go. Yep.
Ay, ay, ay. So, Dave Johnson, any more? We've got like 30 seconds left. Any predictions on what's going to happen next in Trump world?
Yes, I think they're closing in now, finally. I go back and forth. I think, God, Trump could win this. But yesterday is one of those days. I think they're closing in. I think it's for real this time. We'll see.
I think so, too.
I mean, we all know Trump did it.
Oh, yes. He was complicit in all of this.
Yes.
And it's time that he has to, pay the piper, as they say.
Yep.
Dave Johnson, again, find him, his website, his blog is seeingtheforest.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at DC Johnson. Now, he's not based in D.C., those are just his initials. Dave Johnson, as always, a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Okay, bye. And tomorrow is Howie Klein Day. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, 3 to 4 Eastern for the live show at NicoleSandler.com. We're on the Progressive Voices Network at 6 Eastern. For the repeat. And you can get the show anytime at NicoleSandler.com. Just go to the blog page or podcasts and you can find it there. Lots of ways to listen. And it's always free, but we do take your donations. Thanks again. I'll see you tomorrow, everyone. Have a great night.